WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on a Wednesday morning. And we are going to talk to you at 508-996-0500. App chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We can certainly discuss what you thought of yesterday's Veterans Day ceremonies and tributes. Look like good turnouts across the South Coast, despite the cold, despite, I guess, some snow flurries at times. But people still came out to show support and respect and appreciation for our veterans. There's also the story, 12 WPRI had the story today, but we had it last week, maybe even the week before that, because Representative Chris Markey brought it to Chris McCarthy's program, this bill that would allow police to seize vehicles used in street takeovers. In fact, I see it on WPRI on the TV right now. But the bill would allow, as some laws already exist on the books for punishment for these street takeovers that have been happening. But as Representative Markey said, what really matters to these people that are doing this are their vehicles. It's their pride and joy. They spend a lot of time and money on them. And so the threat of potentially losing them, he thinks, would be a deterrent. Now, I don't know how much of a deterrent it would be. I agree with Representative Markey that there needs to be stricter penalties, and that maybe this would be one that would keep some people from taking part. The risk isn't worth it. But I think a lot of these folks, too, don't care about the law anyway. But still, there's nothing wrong with putting these stronger laws in the books. However, critics of this are concerned that this makes it too easy then for law enforcement to seize your vehicle, to say that you were doing something that was, you know, reckless endangerment, and that's how they're going to end up taking away a lot of, you know. So we know that a group of people getting on dirt bikes or ATVs and riding through the city on the city streets is dangerous and reckless and shouldn't be happening. And in those situations, yeah, you kind of do want to see the police seize those vehicles, especially since a lot of the times they're stolen and the original owners are trying to get them back. But what happens to the guy that can't get to work because his car is broken and he just jumps on the dirt bike and rides that? You know, and then are the police going to seize his vehicle rather than just give him a ticket? What about the kid who just drives it around in the backyard but then has to take it down the street to get some gas because he doesn't have a gas can? So he brings it down the street and gets caught with it on the road. You know, are they going to be seizing those vehicles, those dirt bikes or ATVs or whatever in those situations? So it does have people concerned. You know, the scope of when these seizures would take place. And, you know, this is all stuff that can be hammered out as the bill is being discussed in the legislature. It doesn't have to go in exactly with the language that's written right now. It can be amended. And I'm sure, you know, hearing Chris Markey talk about it with Chris McCarthy here on the radio, they're not looking to seize vehicles. They just want it to be something that the threat of it keeps people from doing these takeovers. And so, you know, the idea of it being abused might not have even come into his mind as they were putting this together. And I'm sure now, as you know, the social media reaction has been happening to this story, it's something that they'll take into consideration. Because, yeah, I would not be surprised if, yes, there are instances where it does get used. You know, if the law isn't clearly explained as to when it should be enforced, it could get used in some situations that were unwarranted, where they're seizing your property for what is basically a civil infraction. And that's what folks are concerned about. But at the same time, something needs to be done, because there's not enough assurances for people that these takeovers won't keep happening. Now, my guess is that, you know, the police are actively monitoring these social media channels where they start planning these things, and, you know, might even have undercover folks trying to get involved in the planning of these to be able to get ahead of them. But it's still, you don't want to go out in Fall River, New Bedford, Taunton, even Middleborough. It happened in Middleborough, Randolph. You know, you don't want to be going out on a Saturday night thinking you might get caught up in one of these trying to get home. You don't want to have an emergency at your home on a Saturday night thinking that the ambulance can't get to your house or get you to the hospital because these street takeovers are happening. And whereas we've dealt with these roving dirt bike groups for a number of years now, and really nothing has changed in that regard, well, the people who are worried about these street takeovers, their concern is going to be more of the same. That it's going to be more of the, well, what can we do about it? So I'm glad that at least there's some discussion happening at the legislative level, even if this plan isn't necessarily perfect. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I was reading a story yesterday about the expectations, the predictions for holiday shopping, that, you know, obviously it's predicted that less will be spent this year because of the economy, because of the rise in utility costs, because of the continual rising of prices. The statistic I saw last night was costs across the board are up 1.4% since the beginning of 2025. So since last Christmas, you know, things have gone up 1.4%, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it might make you pull back a little bit on what you're spending for the holidays. But this report said that not only will it be, you know, a little bit slower of a spending year, but that there might not be as many of the products people want on the shelves because of all the stuff with the tariffs and all that. So, you know, the production might have lagged behind, or getting it over here might have lagged behind. So you might be looking for items that you can't find. In the end, of course, they're going to be wrong. You know, every time they predict one of these slow spending years, it turns out, oh, well, you set records for Christmas spending, because in the end, you know, people find a way to make it happen. But I just thought it was interesting that the doom and gloom predictions are happening already for it. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I believe you're right. They always overpredict things this time of the year for the spending, every single time. And by the end of Christmas, well, you know what, though? I will say I have noticed a dramatic drop in local shopping. that was picking up for a while, and then it just seemed when COVID was kind of like officially over, you're quoting, that's when I noticed the mom and pop stores were doing less business. But yeah, they
yeah, but I mean, is that people spending less, or is that just people are buying more things online? Are they going to more of the big box stores to get better deals? I mean, you know, there's.
I think it's Amazon. I think Amazon ruined it for everybody.
People are still going to buy things, whether they can afford it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they like you said, they always find a way. So yeah, I'm not. I've never been a really big store spender. I mean, like I'll go in Macy's or JCPenney, but I go to the racks, the sale racks, because it's just unbelievable. In Kohl's, great sales on the racks. But like as far as the big stores, I don't like shopping there. I don't like doing anything for them.
Well,
but I just lost my train of thought. Yeah. I just don't. Walmart, I might get my Unison from. That's about it. Something would have to really strike me to want to participate in giving them money. I just don't. Yeah. Anyways, I don't want to go in that direction. So with the car thing, you know, I was sitting here thinking, I remember a friend that got their car taken away. And I can't remember if it was in New Jersey or here. The person in the car didn't have the drugs on them, but they sure enough threw them on the floor. And then she lost her car. And so they do that already. But as far as the other person,
this is seizing it for reckless driving. So this is specifically for, you know, there isn't a statute now that allows them to seize the car for reckless driving.
So reckless driving. So if somebody is swerving lanes and you're in the car with them, they're going to take. No, I don't know.
Well, that's the question. So it's basically, you know, what they're charging the folks with that come and do these street takeovers is reckless driving. And so because of that, the law doesn't have enough bite for them to be able to seize the vehicles. So that's what it's geared toward. But like you're saying, you know, people are worried, does that mean they'll use it for any kind of reckless driving? Like if I'm, you know, in a hurry and I'm driving 90 miles an hour on the highway, that's reckless driving. Like I once got threatened with that. So if that's reckless driving, then will they seize your car for that? That's what people are concerned about.
Okay. Wow. I'm glad you explained that to me. Because I heard it being mentioned yesterday, and I just couldn't make any sense of it, and I figured it was just strictly for the drug thing. But wow, okay, I had no idea. Wow, I don't know. Massachusetts is getting more and more controlled now. If they're going to make this nationwide, that I don't see that happening nationwide. Do you?
I don't know. I don't know if it's already like that in other places. It may be.
Yeah, that's what. I'm curious about. So yesterday, I couldn't sleep the night before, and I woke up at 3 in the morning, and I was like, God, that happened like 3 nights in a row. So I said, well, I'm going to get up and make some home fries. So I made some, chopped up some portobello mushrooms and the potatoes and onion. And so I made that, and needless to say, I was up till like 5 in the morning. I went to sleep, woke up at 7, and here you are saying that you were there. And I was like, darn it, he's so close to me. But, like, I was already up and I already had breakfast. So that was weird. But, yeah, did anybody come out?
Yeah, they were pretty busy the whole time we were there. So it was a good day.
I always forget about that restaurant until you start advertising again. I drive by it 1,000 times, right? And I never remember to go in there. I have to remember to go in there.
Yeah, stop in and get something. Or you can go through the drive-thru, either way.
Yeah, it sounds so yummy. And yes, I have put my heat on. I started last week just in the mornings to get the chill out of here. And last night, I thought it was going to go down to 32. So I said, you know what? I'm tired of waking up, getting up and to turn the heat on and getting back in the covers until I can officially get out. And so I put my heat on 62 and I didn't even need it. So mad.
No.
Because it's 40 something out there.
Yeah, it'll warm up a little bit. So maybe you won't need it on.
No, all right. I'll let you go. Have a wonderful day.
You as well. Let's take another call here before I got to take a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim.
Morning.
I have put my heat on already. I've had it on.
Yeah, for a little while now. There's been a few that I've thought about it for sure.
Mine doesn't go on unless it's called for. So if I set it, you know, it doesn't come on, and it, like it came on bed on this past couple of nights.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of one I have, just one thermostat.
I have one of those apartment heaters, you know, those gas furnaces in the middle of the apartment, and I don't turn it on unless absolutely necessary, and I don't leave it on unless I'm awake.
Because you can have a fire, right?
Yeah, I'm careful about it. I mean, it's definitely, it's an older model, so I'm definitely careful about it.
That's all you heat your house with?
Well, I have a couple of little electric heaters I use in the individual rooms, or I sleep with an electric blanket. That way there I don't need to turn the heat on.
But you're going to do it eventually, right?
I just do it for like little spurts of time and then turn it off again.
All right. Your cat will have to keep you warm.
That cat can stay on the other side of the room after what he did to me the other day.
Why would he do?
I fell asleep on the chair and he just jumped up on the chair, latched onto my arm, sunk his teeth into my arm, and was scratching my arm on the other side. I still got the scratches and the bite marks. Just out of nowhere.
You better get a tetanus shot.
I'm going to get him a shot of something to calm him down. Maybe a shot of tequila.
A boot in the butt. How come he's like that cat?
I don't know. I think he's bipolar.
Oh my goodness, get him some Prozac or some medicine.
Yeah, I tried getting him some things that calm him, like natural things. Now I'm going to walk in there and be like, give me that cat CBD. I'm going to get this cat high.
Anyways, what are you talking about? You were at the restaurant, the Phoenix?
Yesterday we were at Just Another Phoenix in North Dartmouth broadcasting the show.
Oh, all right. Anyways, Tim, can you do me a favor and check and see if anybody hit that Mega Millions? I didn't buy a ticket, but...
I know it wasn't me, but I also didn't play.
But it's almost a billion now.
I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, it's up there. I think if no one hit it yet, I'm going to buy one this next time.
Yeah, all it says here is next estimated jackpot, $965 million.
Nobody hit it?
I guess not.
It's just a dream. But I was listening to Jose Matos. And he was talking on your show the other day, and he was talking about somebody that came in that his scratch ticket and thought that it was 10,000,
mm-hmm.
and it was 10,000 a week for life. It was an $8 million scratch ticket, all told.
Wouldn't that be a nice thing to have?
I scratch them now and then, but I don't get lucky.
I went to the Stevie's tasting on Saturday, and the Masshole Light beer was giving away these keychains, and I said, "Oh, I'm going to take one of these keychains." And the guy said, "No, those aren't keychains. It's the most New England thing possible. It's a scratch ticket scratcher that you put on your key ring, so you can just use it. It's like a little curved fingernail that you just use to scratch the scratch tickets." I thought that was hilarious.
So you got one?
Yeah, I got one. I mean, I don't buy scratch tickets, but I bought it because I like the beer. I got it because I like the beer.
Well, can you imagine?
I know.
This ticket was $8 million, but he suggested to take the 10,000 a week.
And yeah, he explained it pretty well too as to why to do that. I mean, that's what I would do anyway, because why not?
And you can will it now, you know, if you win, you can will it. Before you couldn't years ago, but so it's good either way, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'd do it anyway, just because for what he said, you know, you're leaving money on the table if you do it the other way, and you're going to blow through a bunch of that money. So you might as well know that there's more coming, as opposed to getting one lump sum and blowing through that and having nothing else coming in.
He's great, Jose. I love him. Mm-hmm. He's good.
I've learned a lot from him over the years.
Yeah. All right, my dear. I'll be listening.
All right. Thanks. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
And we got to take a break here. We'll come back with the news, and then we'll have today's edition of the Gen X Files. Stick around.
Wake up weekday mornings with the Tim Weisberg Show, 1420 AM and 99.5 FM, WBSM.
Flight cancellations and delays continue to increase nationwide. A surprise visit for Veterans Day yesterday, and Diddy may be in more trouble behind bars.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Yesterday was another day of flight cancellations and delays as the FAA reduced flights at 40 major airports nationwide. FlightAware reported over 1,200 cancellations and 2,000 delays as the 6% of flights continued to be cut.
My flight was supposed to go out yesterday and I was canceled, so I had to rebook for this morning.
Wednesday is another block that they're going to let us know for the next few days.
New York hit especially hard, including LaGuardia, Kennedy, Newark Liberty, and Teterboro. Among the many impacted, the travel chaos being blamed on the continuing government shutdown that has many air traffic controllers calling out sick, taking on side jobs because they're not getting paid, and other concerns. FAA mandated flight cuts are set to go to 8% tomorrow and 10% on Friday. America's infant botulism outbreak is growing, with multiple states still affected, including Rhode Island, New Jersey, New York, despite a nationwide recall of a certain baby formula.
The FDA warned parents on Saturday that 13 babies in 10 states had gotten sick and needed to be hospitalized after drinking Bi-Heart Whole Nutrition infant formula. But now that number has grown to 15 babies in 12 states. All the infants are being treated with Baby Big, a special IV medicine designed to treat botulism. Botulism can cause serious health issues, including trouble breathing and respiratory arrest. Bi-Heart, based in New York City, first issued a voluntary recall of two lots of formula, which it's now expanded to all. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
Former NFL wide receiver Antonio Brown is pleading not guilty to attempted murder. The charge stems from a shooting at a celebrity boxing event last May in Miami. The plea was entered by Brown's attorney, who has also requested a jury trial. Brown, who played 12 seasons in the NFL, was extradited from Dubai last week. After being arrested by U.S. Marshals, he could face 15 years in prison if he's convicted. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene pushing back on President Trump's notion that she has, quote, lost her way.
The president's criticism comes as Greene's public disapproval of the GOP on multiple issues, including Affordable Care Act subsidy extensions and the Epstein files, has grown more frequent. Greene defended herself, asserting that she has not lost her way, and she added that she is 100% America first and only. She also pushed her America First agenda with a post on X calling for nonstop meetings at the White House on domestic policy, not foreign policy, and foreign countries' leaders. I'm Jim Roop.
Former President Barack Obama marked Veterans Day with a surprise appearance before service members and their families who arrived in the nation's capital.
The former president posted a video to X on Tuesday, where he walked onto an arriving plane and thanked the veterans for their service. He also shared images of him handing out the presidential challenge coin to veterans coming off the flight. The flight was part of the Honor Flight Network, which offers veterans of World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War free trips to honor their service. I'm Wendy Swanson.
President Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance also honored veterans yesterday, speaking at Arlington National Cemetery. The Northern Lights could be visible in almost two dozen states last night. NOAA had released a severe geomagnetic storm alert as it reported at least 21 states could see the aurora borealis, including southern New England. The views could last into tonight in some spots. The Northern Lights occur when the sun's plasma interacts with the Earth's magnetic field. Sean Diddy Combs could face consequences for prison flubs, including an unsanctioned three-way phone call. Reports say officials at FCI Fort Dix want to cancel Combs' commissary and phone privileges for 3 months after they discovered he took part in a multi-party phone call earlier this month. The rapper said he didn't know that wasn't allowed. Also last week, Diddy was reportedly caught with homemade booze behind bars. The 56-year-old is serving 4 years in prison after being convicted in New York last summer of transportation to engage in prostitution.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
Tough night for the Boston teams. It was the Maple Leafs over the Bruins, 5-3 last night. Bees have the night off tonight as they travel to Ottawa to play the Senators tomorrow at 7. Celtics also lost last night. Close one. to the 76ers in Philadelphia, 102-100.
Now your WPRI 12 forecast. Brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
Skies will vary between partly and mostly cloudy for today. A brief passing sprinkle or flurry during the early morning. Breezy and chilly with a high temp around 48. There'll be a bit of sun during the afternoon. Mostly cloudy tonight, dry, low temperatures mid-30s. A mix of clouds and sunshine on Thursday with a high near 50. For WBSM, I'm 12 News Chief Meteorologist Tony Petracca.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
The Gen X Files.
Let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files are brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth. We'll start with our celebrity birthdays. Legendary sports announcer Al Michaels still believes in miracles at the age of 81 today. Rocker Neil Young is still rocking in the free world at age 80. Megan Mullally of Will & Grace fame is 67. Dave Ellefson of Megadeth is 61. Former MLB slugger Sammy Sosa turns 57. Former figure skater and 90s controversy queen Tonya Harding is 55. Angela Watson, who played Karen on Step by Step in the 90s, is 50. Singer Tevin Campbell is 49. Actor Ryan Gosling is 45. And actress Anne Hathaway celebrates her 43rd birthday today. November 12, 1966, the Monkees' debut album started a 13-week run at number one on the U.S. album chart, selling over 3 million copies in 3 months. And of course, the Monkees had a big comeback in the 80s with their 20th anniversary album and tour. And then really have stuck around ever since. Even Mickey is heading back out on the road. So you can get a chance to see. He's coming to Boston at City Winery later on this month. On November 12, 1977, the Sex Pistols topped the UK chart with their soul album, Nevermind the Bollocks, Here's the Sex Pistols. While now considered to be the most influential punk record ever released, and one of the most important albums in recorded music, Nevermind the Bollocks was highly controversial at the time of its release, particularly in Britain. Leading up to its release, the band had been banned from playing in multiple venues across the UK and dropped from their label. Many stores refused to sell their records, considering their work to be obscene and offensive. Despite the public outrage, or maybe perhaps because of it, the groundbreaking title was a massive success and had a long-lasting effect on the course of modern music. On this date in 1991, mission STS-2, utilizing the Space Shuttle Columbia, marked the first time a manned spacecraft was launched into space twice. Also on this date in 1981, the first balloon crossing of the Pacific was completed. The Double Eagle 5 launched from Nagashima, Japan on November 10th of 1981. On this date in 1983, Lionel Richie had a number one hit with All Night Long. On this date in 1988, Escape Club had a number one hit with Wild Wild West. In 1988, also, U2 started a 6-week run at number one on the U.S. album chart with Rattle and Hum, which was actually the soundtrack album to the film of the same name, and went on to sell over 14 million copies. In 1993, the first Ultimate Fighting Championship event, UFC 1, was held in Denver, Colorado on this date. November 12, 1997, the Spice Girls sophomore album debuted at number one. Released at the height of Spice Mania, the LP featured such hits as Spice Up Your Life, Stop, Viva Forever, and Too Much, and served as the soundtrack to the film of the same name, which arrived in theaters that December. Across the globe, the album topped the charts in multiple countries. Also on this date in 1997, Ramzi Youssef was found guilty of masterminding the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. In 2000, Destiny's Child began an 11-week run at the top of the Billboard Hot 100 with Independent Woman Part 1. The hit was recorded for the soundtrack to Charlie's Angels, the film adaptation of the popular 70s TV series. In 2001, Ringo Starr, Paul McCartney, and George Harrison met at a hotel in New York City, taking place just 2 weeks before Harrison passed away from cancer. The occasion would mark the final time that all three surviving Beatles spent time together. On this date in 2004, a jury in Redwood City, California, convicted Scott Peterson of murdering his pregnant wife, Lacey, and dumping her body in San Francisco Bay. November 12, 2008, Beyoncé released her third studio album, I Am Sasha Fierce, debuting at number one on the U.S. Billboard chart. Her third consecutive U.S. number one solo album was marketed with the release of several singles, including If I Were a Boy and Single Ladies Put a Ring on It, both of which charted high internationally. And in 2016, Robbie Williams broke the record for the most number one albums by a British solo artist. The singer's latest album at that time, The Heavy Entertainment Show, debuted at number one on that week's chart. It was his 12th album to reach the summit and pushed him ahead of David Bowie, who had 11 number one albums to his name. That's the Gen X Files for November 12, 2025, brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth, where you can join the Just Another Star Club Rewards Program, and you can try great specials like the Peach Cobbler Stuffed French Toast. All right, let's go to the phones, 508-996-0500. Good morning, you're on WBSM.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was going to make a comment on the dirt bike issue you were talking about.
Sure.
How do you guys think that they're going to be able to push the laws when they allow, like, e-bikes, scooters that aren't registered because they're not over 50 cc's or whatever? How can they push a law when those are already in the street and in the way as well?
Well, to be fair, the law that they're putting out there is really designed more for the vehicles involved in these street takeovers. It's just that Representative Markey said that it could be utilized to in those situations. So it's not like that's the focus necessarily of the law. But I think that it's the same idea. It's more about the reckless driving. So if you're driving one of those vehicles on the road and you're driving it not recklessly, then there's not a problem. It's more about when there's a group of 50 or 100 people all doing it down the street and popping wheelies and all that kind of stuff.
Agreed. Fairhaven, we have children that literally are going to be the new age, and they're probably going to be 10 times worse than what's currently going on. So I figured I'd throw it out there that pedal bikes are actually more in the way than dirt bikes currently, and I feel like it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, I mean, the bigger problem is, like, we don't have people that understand the traffic rules of using this. That's why with e-bikes, there's been such a big push to get the rules out there and to have people learn what they are, because, like, that's why you've got people riding bicycles on the sidewalk. Well, you're supposed to ride the bicycle in the bike lane. But then if you're riding the bicycle in the bike lane, well, the cars are supposed to give you the room in the bike lane, but you're not supposed to go into the cars' lanes. And the problem is just nobody really knows the rules.
Yeah, it really is such an issue. That's why I'm like, oh my God, these kids on the e-bikes are about to give y'all a run for your money in a decade.
Yeah, and the problem is that, you know, as those become more and more popular, they're going to be able to do more. They're going to be able to go faster. And, you know, then it's going to become where they're just as much as a motorcycle going down the road.
Agreed. I feel like they already are too fast.
So do you find that there's a lot of them on the roads? Because I've seen them, but most of the people that I've seen that are on them, unfortunately, I've seen them driving them on the sidewalk, which isn't what you're supposed to do. But I haven't really seen a lot of people in the roads on them. But is that happening?
Fairhaven, it's crazy. People complain on Facebook all the time. It's the parents' fault. It's the parents' fault. And I'm like, can't blame the parents when you think that they're just being kids. But it's literally the fact that they made these bikes and they're allowed to be on the street. So the kids see nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, and, you know, people can blame the parents, but parents don't really know the rules either. Because, you know, when we were kids, we rode our bikes on the sidewalk. We rode our bikes in the street. Like, we weren't really paying attention. We didn't even have bike lanes when I was younger, you know?
Absolutely. You were on the sidewalk or you just got out the way of the car.
Yeah. So I think that there needs to be a massive education campaign overall, and maybe that should be a requirement. Maybe when you buy a bicycle, or you buy an e-bike or you buy any of those things, you know, at least when you're buying them brand new retail, there should be a QR code you scan to watch a video or a paper they hand you or a little pamphlet they hand you with some rules, at least something to educate people, because otherwise they're not learning it. You don't consider it as something that you need to educate yourself on. You're like, all I got to do is figure out how to ride it and I'm fine.
To me, it's almost equivalent as a dirt bike. It just doesn't have gears or a clutch.
Right. Yeah.
I have my man ride dirt bike. He does it in the correct way. He gets his licensing through Fall River and, you know, sometimes rides through Plymouth. But now that the kids are on the street, he's like afraid that they're going to take his bike, smush it. It's his pride and joy. We don't like the streets. There's no reason it's called a dirt bike. Supposed to be in the dirt, but
yeah, but I mean,
I figured I'd throw it out there that these young kids on the e-bikes are gonna be insane.
All right, well, thank you for the call.
No problem. I figured I'd let y'all know.
Have a good day.
You too.
And that's something, you know, like, listen, I grew up riding bicycles all over the place. My cousin had dirt bikes. We'd ride them at his house. And yeah, sometimes you'd be out in the woods and you'd say, okay, well, you know, I'm going to go fill up the gas tank. And you ride it out of the woods and you go down the street a little bit to the gas station and you're on the road, but you follow the rules. And, you know, at least, you know, you're respectful of traffic, I should say, because you're already breaking the rules by being on the road. But still, it was never like a major thing. And that's not really what I think that they're looking to target. They're not trying to say to the person that, you know, is riding a dirt bike to get from one spot to another, you know, coming out of the woods, going down the street a little bit, going into the woods on another path. Like, that's not who they're looking to bag. It's these people who are coming down in these giant groups. And if that's what's happening with e-bikes, the same thing is going to happen. You know, that's going to be reckless driving. And so that's where this law would come into play, is when the reckless driving statute is triggered. That's when the seizure would be able to happen if this legislation is passed. Caller, hang on. I got to get a break in. We'll do that, and then we'll take you as soon as we come back. Stick around.
You're waking up with the Tim Weisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app.
All right, let's go back to the phones. You are next on WBSM.
Morning, Tim.
Morning.
I heard that they're going to, now you were saying they have a Mexican restaurant in the old National Club downtown.
Yes, yep.
Where are they going to have valet parking?
I don't know. Listen,
hey, down the street.
They just take the car. You don't worry about where it goes after that.
What's that?
I said, you just let them take the car.
Saying.
Don't you worry.
That's what I'm saying.
Don't you. If they're going to be driving that thing down Route 18, don't you worry about that.
They'll be riding around with it all night until you're done eating. I don't care. They have a lot of Mexican restaurants around here. I'm not a big Mexican fan. I like Chinese. Have you ever tried gumbos?
Not yet.
Oh, not yet. Oh, you got to try it. It's really good. But I'm just wondering where they're going to park them. I mean, I worked downtown for years, and I never. It's just on the streets.
Yeah, I mean they must have an arrangement with one of the local businesses or
parking garage. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe they're using the DeMello lot or something.
Was it DeMello lot?
Yeah, by the YMCA there, behind the YMCA.
Oh, okay, maybe. Yeah, but is it that big inside there?
I don't know. I haven't been inside.
I went inside years. Well, one time I went there and then I never went back. It was mostly like a 15.
I didn't get the invite. I'm not friends and family, I guess. I didn't get the invite that everybody else does.
When it was a bar years ago.
No, I never went in.
It was very small. No, I should never went in any, but it was just, I think we were going in to cash a check because they used to cash checks there. But that's where all the fishermen used to go there and stuff like that. But anyway, I was just wondering where they're going to park and where are the cars going to go after that. But anyway.
As long as they come back when you leave, don't worry about the rest of it.
Yeah, funny. All right, take care.
Have a good day. All right. I got to get one more break in here, but before I do that, let me tell you about one of my favorite places in New Bedford, the Butcher Shop. They are closed this week, so we're not going to be checking in with Eric this week. They're closed down for a little bit, but they'll be back open next Tuesday, and they'll be taking all of your Thanksgiving orders. So if you want to get your turkey ordered up now, or maybe you don't want to cook at all, you want to order a nice platter, they'll have that ready for you as well. All you have to do is let them know when they open back up that you are looking to have them take care of Thanksgiving for you. And they're happy to do that. At the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. And make sure that when you do go back in there, when they're open up again, tell them how much you love hearing Eric and Joe on the show. Because I keep telling them, they're celebrities, that they're everybody's favorite part of Fridays, Fun Fridays. They love hearing the call-in from the Butcher Shop, and they think I'm just teasing them. They think I'm just kidding around. But no, I get so many messages about how they love that segment. All right, I got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments.
Emily.
All right, we're going to take another break here for the news. Can't believe that hour flew by. When we come back on the other side of the news, we're going to talk with Victoria Grisella of the United Way of Greater New Bedford about the upcoming Hunger Heroes food drop that is happening this Saturday from 10 to noon outside of Aldi at the Dartmouth Mall. We're going to